And thank God he provided credible testimony as we began to research what is revival really all about. And we read in books, and we read on the internet, and we listened to videos and CDs and tapes, and we researched. We heard testimony after testimony after testimony of credible, solid, scholarly, godly counsel saying, "This is God." And so now, if it rocks our world a little bit, I'll be a little bit more confident not to be shaken because I have credible testimony. This is of God. Praise God. We've done our homework. Peter had a credible testimony. We have a credible testimony. If you're sensing that God is calling you from the familiar to the unfamiliar, do your homework. Seek it out and allow God to testify to you through other people that this is, in fact, his hand working in your life. That's number one, a credible testimony. What else did he have? Number two, I'll speed this up a little bit. He had a personal experience. He got up, he checked it out for himself. He said, okay, I heard my buddy John the Baptist, whom I respect and admire, saying, this is the man, but I'm going to go check it out myself. That sounds good, but I'm from Missouri. You got to show me. So I'm going to go follow this guy, find out what's happening, and see for myself. Just like Missy and I, when we heard about what was going on in Lakeland, and the guy came up to North Carolina, we said, okay, where's our tickets? We're going to go check it out. We're going to get some firsthand experience. Because there's nothing like being there. You can hear what other people have to say, and that's wonderful. But if you have been there, and you have heard it, and you have seen it, and touched it, and experienced it, then who's going to argue with you? So Peter got up, and he went and he checked it out. He spent the entire day with Jesus. It said he followed him. It didn't mean he followed him and left Zebedee behind. He followed him and hung out with him for the day to check it out and see what it's all about. And then you can say, I don't care what anybody else says. I've seen it myself. I'm a gearhead. I love buying stuff, man. But I hate to get ripped off. Some of you guys are probably like that. I mean, before you buy something, you will research that thing endlessly. You'll read the testimonies. And then still before you buy it, you'll go try it out. You'll go to the store and try it to see if it really is that. Because I don't want to have to come back in 15 days and say, well, it really was, it doesn't work, or this, that, or the other thing. You know, I got to try it. I got to do it so that if it's a piece of junk, I know about it. And God invites us to do the same thing. Jesus, when Peter said, where are you staying? What did Jesus say to him? Come and see. God is saying, come on, check it out. See for yourself. Get a firsthand personal experience. Amen? Peter had that. Spent the day with Jesus. Okay, so number one, he had a credible testimony. Number two, he had a personal experience. He checked it out. Number three, Peter received a prophetic word. He received a prophetic word. Let's go to John chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. It says, one of the two who heard John speak, John the Baptist, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He, Andrew, first found his own brother, Simon Peter, said to him, we found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, let me tell you something. Let me pause for a second. When Jesus looks at you, you've been looked at. Those eyes of fire see through everything you're putting up there. They look into the very depths of your soul and they see you for who you are, and there is no fooling Jesus. When Jesus looks at you, man, you've been looked at. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. A rock, chip off the old block. stone or a rock. Now, Peter was an impulsive guy. Peter would, bam, do things on impulse. He'd speak rashly. He'd move rashly. I mean, he was going around cutting off people's ears when he got in a bad mood and stuff. He would be put, you know. When you're an impulsive man, you can live a hard life because you are always having to go back and do damage control. You know, go back and eat that humble pie. Eat your words, you know, make apologies. Set this in order and that in order because, bam, you just went up and did this and it was the wrong thing to do and you didn't know till the chips were on the ground. It's a hard life, man. It'll humble you. You got to learn to walk on one foot because you got the other one always stuck in your mouth. It's tough. And that's where Peter lived, man. Peter lived by impulse, and it was hard. He was rash and impulsive, but Jesus looked at him. Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Simon, you're Peter. You're Simon, you're going to be Cephas. You're going to be a rock. You're impulsive. You're unstable now. You are unstable. Your life is dysfunctional and unstable. But when I get done with you, man, you are going to be a rock. You are going to be the epitome of stability." Christ gave him a prophetic word. He looked into his soul and he spoke the wisdom of God into his life. And I'm sure it rocked Peter's world. Praise God. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. I remember when my daughter Laura was seeking God's will for her life about a possible future husband. Can I tell this story, Laura? No pressure. And she was praying and praying, and, you know, because she is a prayer warrior. I love that girl, man. Girl, you are a lover of God's heart, and I just thrill in that. You're like, "God, I want to do your will, no matter what it is. No matter what my will is, Lord, I want to do your will. Please show me your will." She's sitting in a restaurant in Lancaster in Pennsylvania, and some guy just walks up to her, some stranger, never met her in his life, in a restaurant. Walks up to her and starts saying, "You know, I realize I'm a stranger, but this is going to be weird, but I believe God gave me a word for you and spoke something about God's will for you in marriage." And I don't remember the exact words, but he came up, he said, "Hi, I'm Bob," or whatever it is. "This is weird, but I believe the Lord wants you to know this." And he gave a word to her and he walked away, never to be seen again. I love that kind of stuff. Man, I'm just like, praise God. I want to be Bob, man. I want to be that dude that just walks up to folks in the restaurant and says, "Man, thus saith the Lord, brother." Bam. Have a nice life. But I believe it rocked your world pretty good, didn't it? Amen. Did it come true? Yeah, it came true too. Praise God. We've had prophetic words spoken over us as we've been seeking God for revival, and it has been very encouraging, and I am taking them as the counsel of God. Praise God. Maybe you've had prophetic words spoken over you. They can change you in an instant, man, when somebody reads your mail. I mean, you've been carrying this thing around. You have never told a soul about this, but someone comes up and reads your mail like it was laid out on the table. It will undo you. I love it when that happens. That's what it's supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to work. And it'll change you, man. So there's Peter. He's had a credible testimony. He did his homework. He had a personal experience. He got up and checked it out himself. Number three, he had a prophetic word that read his mail and just, I'm sure, opened his eyes. And finally, number four, he had a personal miracle. A personal miracle. Let's look at Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. This is just the icing, man, on top of the salmon. Or something like that. The icing on the cupcake. Luke 5, 1 to 11. "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him," Jesus, "as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked them to put out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled the boats so that they began to sink. Last night when I was reviewing this, I misread it. I said they began to stink. I guess they did with all this fish in it. But sink or stink, man, they were filled with fish. They came and filled the boat, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of, thank you, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him.